the Word of God. I hear preachers preach all the time on the radio. I listen to Harold Camping. That's the only one I don't like on that family radio. Spiritual lives is a way of the Scriptures. I'm going to share some things with you. Somebody called him in the other day and they asked him, I heard him two different days, they asked him about the book of Revelation. He said he didn't believe it. It wasn't literal. That it didn't mean what it says. And he thinks it's spiritual, he spiritualizes it away. He said, well, that's what's happening in churches today. That's what's going on there. And he said it couldn't possibly happen. When we started this class on Revelation, I told you that my point of view, and the only point of view which I think is even reasonable, or otherwise you do violence to the Scriptures, is to literally interpret the Scriptures what it says. Unless there is a figure of speech involved in something, interpret it literally, because that's what it means. And in the book of Revelation, we have some real wild things here. But these are literal things that are going to happen. They're from John's, what he saw and how he described what he saw. Remember, as a man 2,000 years ago, jumping ahead 2,000 years. And believe me, people, we are in the last days. And I will not ever take that back. I'm not saying the Lord's coming back tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. But we know that we're in the last days because... Come on in, brother. We know we're in the last days. I'll get you down here. Why do we know we're in the last days? Why? Fernando, why are we in the last days? Tell me. I told you that.
But you tell me that was 2 years ago.
I told you that 20 years ago. I did. I won't take it back. Because we're in the last days. I don't know how far into the last days we are, but we're there. We're in the last part of this age. Why are we in the last days? The regathering of Israel. We know on this little chart up here, we're in the last days because God has regathered Israel. Now, for hundreds of years, so-called theologians did not believe that God was ever going to deal with literal Israel again because Israel was gone. St. Augustine, if you want to call him that way, his name, he was called Austin, Augustine, and Augustine. All right? He spiritualized away the Scriptures, just like Harold Camping and many people do that. They'll take something and say, well, that typified so-and-so. It didn't really happen at all. It is typified something. It typified something. When Naaman was cleansed, that was God was going to cleanse the Gentiles. That's what the story was about. It didn't matter what happened or not. That's what it meant. They spiritualized the Scriptures. And in the book of Revelation, that all of these happens are just spiritual stories. It really didn't happen. It's really not going to happen like that. You will never worry. When you read the Word of God, read it and expect it to happen. Expect it to happen. When I was a little boy one time, you know you trust your family, don't you, when you're little? You trust it. I'd gone up to Hobo Hot Springs on a camping trip. We went up there in the canyon. This is so long ago that some of you don't even know where that is. It's Miracle Hot Springs or Hobo Hot Springs up there in the canyon. Anyway, I was going along there, and I had a stepdad named Red. And I was walking along the river, and I wanted to learn how to swim, and I wanted to swim so bad. So bad. I said, Daddy, can I go swimming? He said, yeah, I'll just haul off and jump in her. What did I do, Mama? I hauled off, and I jumped right in the river. He had to save my life. But I believed that I was going to be okay if I jumped in that river. I had faith in him. He was not going to do anything that would be detrimental to my health, I thought. I kept going down. down and up and down and up, and he finally got me out of there. But I wanted to go swimming. I had faith in it. I was a little disappointed. To say the least, I was a little bit disappointed. You will never be disappointed in God if you take the Word of God as if He breathed it Himself. Study the Word of God. Study the rules of interpretation. Who's speaking? All right? When you open up a book, find out who's speaking. Who's He speaking to? And what's the subject? That's real, real simple. There's five rules if you want to go all the way out, but that's the beginning. Find those out and see if you can figure it out from that. You can say, is there a figure of speech involved? What's the time element involved? But who's speaking, who's he speaking to, and what's the subject? That's the most important thing. And then you can interpret the Word of God. And I don't care if you don't think it can happen. Like Augustine didn't think that Israel would ever be a nation again. He hated the nation. He hated the Jews because of what they did to the Messiah. Well, all I've got to say about that is that they crucified the Messiah, but so would have he if he had been there. Because that's what was going to happen. That was ordained to happen, wasn't it? There wasn't anybody going to save Jesus from the cross. All of them hollered for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ except his personal disciples, and they slumped back like egg-sucking dogs. You know, they did. They did. Went back there and hid in the shadows. Peter heard that rooster crow three times and then started bawling because he knew that he had denied his Savior. Well, for many years, people, when they would interpret the Scriptures, said, well, in my own lifetime, the Gog and Magog have been spoken of in the Bible as a tremendous, powerful force. And Gog and Magog is Russia. Okay? Magog is the city of Moscow. And Gog, it means the one that rules that area, or the king of Rosh is what it means, Gog. And that people over there have always been a backward people for some reason. I don't know why. They've been backward people. In this last century, the United States got in a great big war. It was called World War II. And Russia was over there fighting up a storm, and they were using basically pitchforks and shovels and hoes to fight with because they didn't have any equipment to fight with. After Russia had gone into communism, that country just went like that, downhill. It was in terrible shape. In 1903, there were 17 communists in the world. Did you know that? They had a meeting. There were 17 of them.
Oh,
individual. They had a meeting. Boy, all the communists in the world had a meeting, and there were 17 of them in 1903. By the end of this century, there's over a billion of them. And their idea and platform is to conquer the whole world. Because communism and anything else doesn't coexist very well. Karl Marx, how many of you heard of that guy? Okay. And then Lenin. Lenin came on the scene and propagated communism. They took over the country and they had the rich ruling power and they had the absolute destitute poor. And the country just never did very well. Then Stalin came on the scene, and they tried to do away with the religion altogether. Talk about a God-hating people. Russia is a God-hating people. Lenin said that he ordered God out of Russia. One time in, I think it was 1932, they had a parade, and they put a coffin in the middle of the parade, and 30 or 40,000 of them followed this coffin, and they ushered God out of Russia and said, we're burying God and we're burying religion. God brought the Dark Ages to the world. And it
used and abused people, religion did all of those years, and we're going to take God and his religion, and we're going to kick him out of Russia. 1937, they made a formal edict that there would be no religion in Russia. Remember when Lenin died? Lenin was basically their god. They knew that there's some people, every man is religious by nature. Is that true? Does anybody here have never prayed? You have to teach a baby that there is no God. Because babies naturally will believe in God. Okay? They do. Helen Keller, you know, she was deaf, dumb, and blind. She didn't know anything at all. And when they finally could communicate with her with sign language, they asked her, they started telling her about God, and she said, I know about God already. She already knew about God. In her heart, God talks to you. Okay? Well, Russia wants to kick God out of there. They don't want to coexist with God at all. But they change their platforms as they go. Well, by 1937, they ushered God out. When Lenin died, they tried. I mean, did you know that a whole group of scientists went to work on his body? To embalm it to where he would look like that, always like, I mean, he was always a living being, and they put him right in the middle of the biggest church in Russia. And people went in there by the thousands, and they replaced the worship of Christ with the worship of Lenin. And they embalmed him. I mean, the guy still looks just the same today as he did back then. They did everything in the world, and they even had other people killed that looked like him, and they would work on their bodies to see how what they could do with him. And they filled his whole body with, dried his body out and filled it with wax. Where it was wax, paraffin. And kept it. And they give him a tune-up every now and then. They still do. Now they're thinking about burying him, if they haven't done it already, because finally Russia has come to the point when he wasn't a god. And in Russia, finally at this point, they've had to let religion back in. And Russia, in the meanwhile, has had to coexist with religion to some extent because they've got Islam behind them. All right? For so many years, the Bible said that Russia and Persia would line up together against us. You remember the Shah of Iran? Why, that was our best buddy over there in Persia. I mean, that was American. That was a Western defender over there, but all of a sudden, just overnight, the country is, they run him off. And they elected several presidents after that time, and every one of them just got killed for some reason, really. And guess who Persia lines up with? Just who the Bible says she's going to line up with. Was that any big surprise to me? No. I read the Word of God. I know it's going to happen in the end, and I trust the Bible that that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen. Russia, and when we got in World War I, America had to support Russia to fight the Germans. Otherwise, they would have, I mean, a lot of those people died over there trying to fight with pitchforks and hoes and shovels and things. And they're being shot at with German warfare. They moved the complete whole Ford tire company over there. The whole thing. They moved factories to Russia so they could build machinery, and we were shipping war machines to them as fast as we could ship them. They were our allies in World War II. What did George Patton want to do?
Attack
them. He wanted what? What did he say? He wanted to get rid of them after we got over there. I wonder why Patton didn't like him. What happened after World War II? What happened at the end of World War II in Germany? In Berlin. What happened?
He wanted to take over Germany.
Russia ran in Germany, into Berlin, and started grabbing all the factories they could grab. And they took our guns and started firing on our men with them to keep us out of there. Shooting them down. Firing on our men with our guns to keep us out of there so they could take everything they could steal and run off with. And every scientist, well, we grabbed some of the scientists and they grabbed some of the scientists. All right? The world is lining up. We talked about the nation of Israel last week, of how that
God brought them from the grave back where they are today through miraculous reasons and ways. Russia has done the same thing. That primitive country now, well, they're going into outer space. They've got atomic bombs and missiles and airplanes and stuff just like we do. Because they stole it from us. Basically. And all this Iran, we look about all the African nations and all this, and you read the book of Revelation and find out who's going to line up against who over there. Remember? Basically, the Antichrist is going, who's going to be behind the Antichrist? All the Western nations, including the United States. That's where the Antichrist is going to be. Whew. That's bad, huh?
Israel.
Well, Israel. Well, I mean, America always lines up with Israel, don't we? Yeah, we're going to have some problem right over there in the Middle East right now. This is previews of coming attractions over there. I don't care what president gets in there, we're going to be behind them. It doesn't matter. We're going to be behind them because we've got too many oil companies over there drilling too many oil wells. We've got to protect them. And that's what the whole story is. All right? The oil. Israel, in the between the nation of Israel and all of the oil in the Middle East, all of the basic material that they need to build plastic, they can build enough plastic to cover the whole world. You know that? Just what's over there, out of the minerals out of the Dead Sea and the oil in the Middle East. That's the two wealthiest places in the world. And rich people like those things. I remember when Donna Robbins came back from Bosnia over there. She was over there and America was shooting them people down and paying for the bullets and all the stuff. And she said, they're shooting down Christian people. And she said, it's nothing but politics. Nothing but politics over there. It's a shame. She said, I hear us bombing those countries and everything else. Well, why did Iran have 3 or 4 presidents killed? Because Russia and the Russian communist allies were behind all of it. How about these poor countries that go out there and start getting in the wars and they got million-dollar airplanes and all these rifles and high-tech killing equipment? Where do they get all that all of a sudden? Are you going to get it from America or Russia? That's the two big countries in the world. When you talk about the West, NATO, CETO, what are you talking about? That's America. All right, and then you've got Russia. Russia. And if you look at Russia on a map, you'll find out that Russia is an Eastern country, an Asian country, and a European country. Well, this is one of the biggest land masses in the world. They cover all of it. And when you read in the Word of God about any nation that's going to come against Israel, from the city of Jerusalem, it's either east, north, south, or west. And that's what those countries. That's what country. And where is Russia coming from?
From the north.
From the north. All right. Read that as we go through. Now we're going to study the book of Revelation some more, but I like to give this to you down there. I want to give you some information. In the world today, we've got two giant powers. We've got communism and America. All right. And the European nations, the Western Bloc and the Eastern Bloc. Okay. That's the two great powers. And we aren't innocent little babies either. Did you know that? We have our little things that we... And I went to school with a CIA agent. I didn't know he was a CIA agent for many years later. Went to school with this man, and the CIA sent him to California Missionary Baptist Institute for 5 or 6 years. He got his doctorate, I believe, down there. And he went into South and Central America as a missionary. About 10 years later, the man made a profession of faith. He had been working for the CIA. Put him in a super ultra-conservative seminary where nobody would suspect that he was a spy and a drug dealer and trafficker. I said many years ago, I said we could get out of the drug, if America would get out of the drug business, we could stop drugs. Go back in Reagan's time and find out what was going on down in South America, where they were getting the money to support the troops down there in these little skirmishes. Drugs. And who was trafficking the drugs, different parts of the world. We're not white and shiny knights in armor either. Not this country. We have the East and we have the West. And that's the country that's going to come into the land of Israel one of these days. Why a piece of ground 50 miles wide and about 150 miles long? About like Southern California down there. Why? Because that's where God says it's going to happen. Trust the Word of God. Trust it. Learn to think. Brother, 20 years ago I told you that. And I said, learn to think. Read for yourself. Look in that. God make a theologian out of you. If you'll give your life to Him and you study the Word of God, He'll do it. Open it up. Now, after we've got those little foundations down, a little more, I'll give you some more later on, but I wanted to give you a few things so you can understand what's happening in the world. We've got these powers. These powers, who is the God of this world today?
Satan.
Who is preparing the way for the Antichrist? Satan. Satan, that's his man. And Russia is going to stand against Satan's man. That's really weird, huh? God-hating country going to stand against Satan's man. Man, that's 666. When you get the confusion of mankind and all of his egocentric ways and throw them in a great big pot and turn them loose, that's what you got in the book of Revelation.
They want it all to themselves.
They want the world. They can't coexist with any with free enterprise at all. Communism has to conquer the whole world. And of course, we know what the Western blocs were out there working for a balance of power, at least, to where there's 50-50, so we can keep them, we can keep from going to a war. If you got a 50% chance of whooping that guy over there, if you can have as much power as he got, you've got a balance of power. In other words, you won't have a war if you've got a balance of power. One of the best things Nixon ever did was become an ally with China. That was real good thinking. Because then the balance of power kind of shifted in our direction, see? Shifted in our direction. Because those Chinese and Russians don't get along too good anyway. They've been beating up on each other too long. You look at these things. Just think about it. As you read now through the book of Revelation, let's go on. And where are we? About 6 in verse 10 or 6 in verse 11? 6 in verse 11. We talked about the saints crying out from under the altar to the great potentate and master, the one is true. And they begged this powerful one to go out there and bring justice upon the earth. But it wasn't time yet, was it? 6 and verse 11. Kai, Edothe, Altois, Hikosto, Stole, Luke, Kai, Arethe, Altois, Hina, Ana, Pusontai, Ete, Kronon, Mikron, Hios, Pleirothosin, Kai, Hoi, Sin, Duloi, Alton, Kai, Hoi, Adelphoi, Alton, Hoi, Melontes, Apoketaneste, Hos, Kai, Altoi. Alright, that's from Greek. Let's go back and look at it from English. And it was given to them, each one, and that's these rewarded saints now, it was given to each one of them a soul. Look at the word stole there. Stole. That's in English, that's S-T-O-L-E. Have you ever heard of a stole? How many of you women ever heard of a stole?
Like a mink stole?
That's right, a mink stole. This is a royal robe, a stole, a very long
a very long robe, a royal robe. A stole is a royal robe. A mink stole was something that in the 40s and 50s and maybe 60s, I don't know about anymore, they women wanted these mink stoles. And everybody had a little mink farm here and a mink farm ranch there and everything. They were producing these little fellas and making these stoles out of them. All women wanted a mink stoles or a cape or something. But a real mink stole from the original language is something that was a long robe, a long royal robe, okay? A stole leuke. How many of you heard of the term of leukemia? That's what this comes from. It means white. White blood cells go rapid in leukemia in a patient that has this disease. Leuke, white. White. Why white? Why white?
Purity.
What?
Purity. White is purity.
Purity, righteousness.
Righteousness.
We talked about the other morning, I preached on the blood of Jesus Christ. We talked about how that mankind, the sin nature is not passed to the woman, but through the blood, because the blood in a child does not come from the woman. The woman's blood never touches it, but it comes from the Father. The blood comes from the Father. And in chemistry-wise, if you look at the blood underneath a microscope, what part of the blood fights disease? What part of the blood stains anything? That's a red blood cell. Okay? That's where all the iron is and everything that keeps your body going. But what's the army in the
white
blood?
Cells.
White. All right? So, is Jesus Christ our defender?
Yes.
And it says that we are washed, our clothing is washed white in His blood. Now, back in those days, they didn't know what white blood cells were and red blood cells were. They had no idea, they had no microscope to even look at it. But the Bible said this thousands of years ago. And guess what? We know that there's white in blood now, don't we?
Yeah.
And that's the army, that's the defender of the human system. The warrior. Jesus is our warrior. He's the one that we're washed white in His white blood cells. The cleansing, the ones that fight for us, okay? White. And it was said to them, look at there, it was said, this word comes from my poem, this third person singular, first aorist, indicative passive, it was caused to be said to them, in order that they should rest, yet a little while longer, a little time. We've got a word chronograph. You know what a chronograph is? Chronograph? Chronometer?
Oh.
Chronometer. Chronometer. The chronometer right there.
A watch?
Yeah. That's a chronometer. That tells time. It keeps time. That's a real good watch is called a chronometer. It is specified and certified to keep time. And that comes from the Greek word chronos. Chronometer. Chronos. When we talk about chronology, what is this, what is chronology? The study of time, periods of time, all right? That's what comes from that word, chronon. Yet, a time longer, a little while longer, and this word is mikron. Mikron. All right? Eos, until they might be fulfilled, or it might be fulfilled, or these things might be fulfilled, that all the ones, fellow slaves with them, seen douloi, seen douloi, of them, and the ones brothers of them, the ones being about to be killed, also, as also they were killed. There's people yet going to die on this earth. Remember, the tribulation period is an absolute direct type of what? The Bible tells us. As in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. I wish these people, the end of the week and middle of the week people, could just look at that for a while and just get some of this heresy out of their mind. What happened in the days of Noah? For 120 years, Noah preached that the end was coming. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ have preached for almost 2,000 years now that the end is coming. Well, It was coming all the time. We can see it a whole lot better than Paul did. And we can even see it better than John wrote it. We knew more about it than even John did. Because we've lived through and we've seen history and we've seen these nations rise and fall and we see them come into power. When it wasn't possible. Even at that time, when John wrote this book of Revelation, Israel had been scattered all over the world to never be recovered as far as I know. I mean, just turned loose. Scattered like ashes on the Pacific Ocean. Surely they couldn't be recovered. God says that everybody is going to be recovered out of the sea that's been died, and whether you're being eaten by a white shark or Moby Dick or whatever, He's going to recover you. You can't hide. He's going to recover. Israel, God said, I'm going to gather you up like a graveyard out there with bones in it. He said, I'm going to put the thigh bone, the knee bone, and so on and so on. And some of you heard that old Negro spiritual where they put that together. That's talking about Ezekiel. It's not talking about children of God being resurrected. It's talking about the nation of Israel being resurrected in the last times. So God will get glory from it. More had to die. More had to die. Revelation 6 and verse 12. Kai. Idon. Hote. Enoixen. Tain. Bogida. Tain. Hectane. Kai. Seismos. Magos. Eganito. Kai. Ho. Helios. Aganito. Milos. Hos. Sakos. Turkinos. Kai. Hey. Selene. Brother Jim, we're in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Or 6th chapter in the 12th verse. 6th chapter, verse 12th verse. Almost read it backwards. Hey, Selene. Hole. Eganito. Hos. Haima. All right. Here we are. Things are starting to happen. Let me get Jim's name down here. I know he's in here someplace. There he is. And I saw, when it opened up, the seal, the sixth. And there was a seismic, there was great seismic behavior. That's what it's talking about, seismos. Do you see where we get the word seismology in? Seismos. Seismic eruption. That means a shaking. That means for the whole house to shake. How many of you were here in 1952 earthquake? It was quite exciting. It was really exciting. It was, I was riding down the street on a bicycle and I saw the lines just a sparking and going on, just flipping. I mean, you wouldn't. And the canal water with all the fish in it just was thrown out of the water, just out of the canal. Just about floated the place away. It was something else. Seismic behavior. The earth was moving suddenly. What is an earthquake? What is an earthquake?
Land and mass shifting or something like that.
Yeah. All right, here's the earth. All right. I left all of my good pens in the other room. This dream was going to work. Nope. Well, I'll just do the best I can. All right. The earth is a molten ball of magma. And on top of that magma floating around on top are what they call tectonic plates. All right? Plates. There's Atlantic and the Pacific plates and so on and so forth. All right? And there are little bitty cracks in the surface around. It's just kind of like an egg. Okay? Can you imagine an egg? What is an egg? That's a bunch of chicken legs out there, and it's got a hard shell around it.
What do you eat for breakfast?
Okay. That's what I eat for breakfast, too.
Yeah.
An egg has a hard shell around it, and the inside of it is fluid.
Yeah.
The earth is that way too, except the inside of it is not an oak, a yolk and a white. It is molten lava. It is glass, rocks, everything is hot in there. It's very hot. It's just steaming. You can go and look at these volcanoes in different places lava and sparks and whatever is just going everywhere. Up there on Mount St. Helens, up there in Washington, a few years ago, that old top of that mountain blew off because of seismic behavior. Okay? That was just a little bit of an idea, previews of coming attraction of what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. All right? The earth, the shell of the earth, you know, we've got water all over this place, too. Boy, that's, sorry, excuse for thinking. There's water on a lot of part of the earth, and there's water and stress on the earth. And when these fishers like to say, later on, the earth was all water on one side and all land on the other side. And man became so evil that he separated the language, confused the languages. Okay? At Babylon, you know, they built a tower. They finished building that tower, by the way. It was finished. It was a national monument. God told man to spread yourself out over the earth, and they said, we won't do it. We're going to stand right here. We're going to have a one world religion, and it's not going to be of God. Mm-hmm. And we're going to worship each other, and we're going to have a figure that we worship, and we are not going to spread on the earth. We're going to have a big city right here. It was a big city. It's called Babylon. God says, I'm going to divide this earth, and I'm going to confuse the language. And so he did. And the reason why that building fell down, because God divided the earth in the days of Pelag. I don't think anybody lived in homes and houses for a few hundred years after the earth started being divided. They had been living in houses and homes in different places, but they started living in tents a lot and grass huts and things. How would you like to go build a house tomorrow and the earth's just shaking all the time? It wouldn't be very practical to build one out of bricks or mud or anything or pile rocks on if the earth is shifting all over the place. Well, the earth divided. We have the continents. You can look, and it's called the continental drift theory in scientific realms. All right? But it divided. Still, the earth is, the land mass is still floating on this magma. Now let's look and see what happens. God's going to start doing a little bit more dividing of the continents. They talk about a Pacific rift out in the Pacific Ocean where volcanoes are just going to just erupt, a whole line of them. There's a guy named Michael Murray years ago that I studied after. He was a scientist and a meteorologist, and he studied the earth and the weather. Tom McElmurray. Anyway, he wrote several books about this, and he said he believed that the earth was going to just split half in two from what the Word of God says and from the look of the earth. Don't worry about start studying science and the Bible at the same time. Because I don't care if science starts disagreeing with the Bible, you better believe the Word of God, because it's more scientific than any sciences or any theory there ever was. Sooner or later, they're going to come in line with the Word of God, if they're right. He said in the sixth seal, there was a shaking great became, or it occurred. And the sun, it became black, like cloth made out of black goat hair. That's what it means. Okay? Trikinos, that's hair. All right? And trichnosis is what? Trichnosis. How many ever heard of trichnosis? What is that? It's what? It's a trichina or trichny worm. It's a hair-like worm in the flesh of carnivorous animals, and they pass this worm on to the other as they eat each other. And hogs used to have it, and pigs, and some raccoons. they would pass this thing on. If you ate them, then you had this prickly, this hair-like worm in your flesh, and it gave you a lot of pain and everything. And they used to tell you to cook pork well done to kill that thing. Okay? How many of you ever eaten salmon? Huh? Ever eaten salmon? How many of you ever eaten fresh salmon? How many of you gone fishing over the ocean? Huh? Have you ever cut those little fish open and see what's going through their flesh? It's hair like worms in there. That's what it's talking about. Hair like worms. Take a look at that. Make you not want to eat salmon anymore. That's what it's talking about. Tricking a hair like worms. All right? And the sun became black as black cloth made out of goat's hair. All right? Miles, black. It became, and the moon, the Selene. What's that real famous Mexican girl's name?
Selena.
Selena. Her name was Moon. That's what her name was, Moon. Yeah, she's dead now. Selena. That's where that word Selena comes from, is moon. Okay? And it became red like blood. Now, what do you think happened here? What happened when Mount St. Helens erupted? It killed people, but what happened to the sky? When you have a real bad dust storm and you see the sun going down, what does it look like? Red. Okay? It's exactly what it's talking about. John didn't know as much about what was happening here as we can, and because we can study and we can see pictures of it and different things all over the world.
We saw it on TV.
This happens. This is what happens when you have gigantic seismic eruptions all over the world. This is going to happen. There's going to be a lot of volcanic activity. The earth is going to be shaking. All right? The earth is going to be shaking. Verse 13. Revelation 6 and verse 13. Kai. Hoi. Asteris. Tu. Uranu. Hepheson. Ace. Pain, gain, hos, suke, vale, tus, olinthos, altes, hippo, anemu, megalu, simone. All right. Let's look at this one now in English. You can put the word stars here, but this can mean meteorites. All right? What this term really means is asteris. It means a bright object in the sky. When a meteor comes into the earth, what happens? When it hits the earth's atmosphere, what happens? Huh? It catches on fire. How many of you have been over there and the meteorite place in Arizona when that great big meteor hits the earth? How many have been over there in Meteor City or whatever you call it? I even at home, I've got a piece of that meteorite. It is hard, molten metal. You can take a drill, a hard drill, and you can't even touch it. It just goes there and no problem. You're not going to drill into that. How many of you have heard of Jim Bowie? Who was that guy?
The Alamo guy?
Yeah, the Alamo guy. You know what he became famous for? Finding a piece of meteorite and melting it into steel and making that Bowie knife out of it. All right? That's what the Bowie knife was made out of. Out of this piece of meteorite that he molted, or that was molten, this is a story, and he made into this knife, and it had really hard steel, and he was a knife fighter, by the way. He used a knife to fight with. He was a tough old boy. Kind of a hoodlum today, probably. Run around having knife fights all the time. Whatever. Anyway, these meteorites are hitting the earth. The sky is just catching on fire with these things. How many have seen some of these science fiction movies with the meteors going through and just going everywhere and out in outer space they're dodging these meteorites? Well, it's funny that there's no atmosphere out there for them to catch on fire with. And the earth's atmosphere, they'll catch on fire. Anything that comes from outer space or outside of space and then comes down into the atmosphere where oxygen and atmosphere is, where the wind blows, there is going to be friction. Friction. That's why they have to put these plates over these
space shuttles
and things to keep them from catching on fire. Here we have bright burning objects coming and falling to Earth. These bright burning objects, these meteorites, are coming down out of the heaven, and the word is they tripped into the atmosphere. Tripped. What do you do when you trip? You fall. I opened up my door here a while back, and my back is really bad, and sometimes when I'm walking, I can't make my leg work at all, and I walked out the back door and was going to just walk out like that, and my foot just went poof. And I tripped and fell all the way down the stairs. Tripped. All of these stars, meteorites, and asteroids, and everything in outer space are kept in store for a time. And God's going to trip them. He's going to trip them. And they're going to fall to the earth. Unto the earth, Eistein Dane. Holos CK. What's a CK? That's a fig tree. A fig tree. It connotates, we got a word saccharin from this. Saccharin is very sweet. Figs, are when they're ripe, are very, very sweet. Back in the Bible days, that they used to make fig cakes. They'd take figs and they'd make fruit leather out of it. And they take, and it would keep, and they could eat this when they were out. Like dried fruit, yeah. It was like dried fruit. And it was a real sweet something to give them energy so they can fight. David one time got figs and grapes or raisins are two fruit like this. They're sweet. As a fig tree, it casts the unripe figs of her. These meteorites are going to fall from heaven, trip out of heaven, just like a tree when a fig tree throws her figs when there's a great wind shaking her. All right? When she's being shaken. Now, the whole universe is going to be shaken. We talk about today about earthquakes 4, 5, 6, and 7. I've been through some high 6 and 7 earthquakes. Really, they didn't really bother me that bad. Kind of grew up with them. In the house that I lived in, it wouldn't matter. I mean, it could have shaked all it wanted to. Wasn't going to shake that shack down. That's all it wants is a shack.
Pretty flexible.
Not much. It'd just move around on top of the ground. It didn't matter. Just shake it around a little bit, crack and creak. But all the big buildings, you know, when they build these great big skyscrapers, they put them on rollers now, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, they roll around and shake. And springs down there, everything. I mean, can't only imagine that, but they're made where they'll roll and rock.
That's when they built the new VA building.
Yeah. Yeah. That VA building, you know, fell down one time down there.
I know, they built a new one.
Yeah, they built a new one. It's on rollers now. But they're not big enough. Did you know that? They're not good enough. They're not good enough. When this shaking takes place here, this is a big shaking, bigger than any shaking that you've ever seen. In recorded history, you go back to the days of Peleg and you'll find there was some shaking taking place back then. But this is a new kind of thing.
I think that this 12:13-14 verse is what Ezekiel was talking about,
mm-hmm.
verse 17.
Read that, would you, brother?
Well, this is where my Bible flops open
mm-hmm.
here in Ezekiel. But they're talking about when God, say the 18th verse, we start, and it shall come to pass that at the time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, this is the whole earth,
mm-hmm.
and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake it in my presence.
Hold on just a second. When it talks about the face of the earth, really in the Hebrew it's faces. You have a back face and a front face and a side face. All right? It's talking about the whole faces of all the earth, okay? The earth is like a ball. It has many faces. Every direction is a different face. When it's talking about all of the face of the earth, it's literally faces of the earth. Okay? Go ahead, brother.
And the mountains shall be thrown down, and every steep place, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I mean, it goes on about this is how the Muslims are going to meet their doomsday against Israel. When God says, I'll call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God, every man's sword shall be against his brother.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same way that God fought with Israel.
Yeah. This is going to happen. Believe it. Just like I believe my stepdad up there in the Kern River and jumped off in the Kern River and like to drowned because I trusted him. I believed him. I said, I want to go swimming. And he said, well, just haul off and jump in. And I did. I didn't know it was 20 feet deep. I figured I could splash around out there. I trusted him. If you trust God, you will never be disappointed. You will never flounder around out there in the Kern River drowning. Trust him. Believe his word. It's true. It is true.
It's pre-written history.
In the Greek and the Hebrew, you know, you have a future perfect. In Hebrew, that's an unusual language. A future perfect. And something's going to happen in the future, but it's spoken of as if it's completed action. Because the Word of God, prophecy, is so absolute. That's future perfect right there. That's what you're talking about. It's so, in the language, it is so absolute that it's going to happen. That it's spoken of in the past tense. How many of you ever heard of Nostradamus? You know, he was a fortune teller and all that back in the Dark Ages. And he told all these stories and things. And some of them came true and... You know, they're still talking about the predictions of Nostradamus. Nostradamus borrowed some of them from the Word of God. He borrowed a few of them, you know. Well, why didn't they just read the Bible? That's the best thing to do. Just read the Bible. There are good Bible interpreters through the land. You know, just listen. We'd all say the same thing if we read from the same book with the same theory of interpretation.
I was listening to a radio preacher the other day, and he goes, if you really want to study, learn the Bible, just like you've been teaching us, this was yesterday, study in the original language. He says Greek is a lost art. He says that many people need to start learning to study the Bible.
Even in the seminaries today, study of Greek is a lot of work. Studying the Greek language is like studying 24 languages all at the same time. Because you have a grammar so big there that 20 languages don't have it. And I mean, it takes that many of them to understand it. How big and perfect the language is. And Hebrew is a totally foreign language to us. But remember, the Word of God was written in Hebrew and Greek.
Yeah.
If you want to look into the Word of God, and by the way, it'll settle itself from those languages. You don't get confused. All right? 6 and verse 14. 6 and verse 14. Kai. Ho, Huranos, Apa, Ko, Riste, Hos, Biblion, Elesomenon, Kai, Pon, Oros, Kai, Nesos, Ek, Ton, Topon, Alton, Ekineste, Son. I look at this, and you see if this isn't what was written about 2,000 years, several hundred years before this was written. John didn't even know Ezekiel. All right. He didn't know Isaiah either. But all of these books just fit together just like that, just like cloth. And the heaven. It was split apart. As a scroll being rolled up. and every mountain and every island out of the places of them they were moved. Look at that. The ocean out there is going to be a boiling mass of steam. And how many of you ever seen, you know, they got fissures in the deep sea where it's the water goes down and superheats and just blows up, and it's going on like that all the time down in there. Well, the whole ocean is going to be like that, not just places. You know that almost all of sea life is going to die? Almost all the sea life is going to die. You know what this earth is going to stink like? It's going to stink like sin. That's what it's going to stink like. Dead people and dead animals and things all over the earth. Smelly. Worse than skunks. Stink. The Bible in another place, it talks about the armies of Gog and Magog, the Russian armies, and the communist armies. The African armies and the Israeli armies, all of them meeting out there in the Battle of Armageddon. And there's going to be so many of them, it's going to take months and months and months to bury them all. And it says everybody that walks by there, his nose is going to stop up.
Not only that, the diseases from the dead.
Yeah. When you have death, you have disease. You have flies. You know the little critters that bug you so much? You know, they try to get your food that just came off of a pile out there in the woods. Whatever. And land on your food. You know what? That's a little contaminating, isn't it? We don't like flies, do we? Carries disease and corruption all over the earth. It's going to be a stinking, smelly mess here on earth. And in the end, finally, after the 1,000-year reign, after they cleaned it up and straightened it out, and then we have a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth with Israel being the administrator of his kingdom on this earth. Israel's going to do something finally for the Lord besides crucifying. God is going to purify the earth by fire. You know that there are metals and different. When you take something and you add it to something else, you can take two cold objects and put them together and it becomes poof. Poof. It blows up in your face. How many of you have ever taken ammonia and put something else with it?
Yeah.
Problems. How about hydrogen peroxide and bleach? These are toxic chemicals. Do you know that if you take some components and put with water, that it'll just blaze and burn? That water can actually, the oxygen water actually makes an explosion and a burn. You know that the earth and all of this earth and the heavens and everything is all kept in store for a big burning. God's going to have a bonfire. How many of you like to go to a bonfire? Huh? We're going to go to God's bonfire one of these days and watch it. He's going to build a big bonfire. Yeah. He's going to have a big bonfire one of these days, and we'll be cheering him on. Brother.
Well, I was just going to thinking about the earthquakes and what you said on the geological standpoint. The Bible says that men's hearts are going to fail from just looking upon these things.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen a 300, 400 foot per tsunami yet.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. The earth, people, when they see what's happening in this earth, their hearts are going to stop. They're going to fail them. It's going to scare them to death.
Yeah.
They're going to be scared to death. And then there's going to be a period of time during this tribulation period where you can't die. The people are going to want to die, and they cannot die. They're going to have to go through it. Oh. Have you ever been in so much misery sometimes you just wish you'd be dead and get it over with? There's going to be a period of time then, we're going to look at it in the book of Revelation, where people cannot die. They're going to have to just tough it out. It's going to be terrible. Do you want to be here? Then look who your Maker is. Seek your Maker. Ask Him to save you and forgive you of your sins, and you don't have to be here. But if you just absolutely have to go there, God's got the place ready. And he set it up. If you have to go there, if you just have to do it, well,
he's going to abide you.
He's going to have you a seat.
Front row
seat. I'm just telling you what it's going to be like. One of these days, this is going to be history. One of these days, this is going to be history. You're either going to be in the midst of it or you're going to be looking down on it, one or the other. It's going to be history one of these days because it is as sure as if it had already happened. Because God's Word is true. Father, thank you for your Word today. Guide and lead us as we go out into the world. Help us to share these things with others. And I pray that these tapes go out and they touch people's hearts and lives for you. For your sake, your honor, and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight.
Yeah, that's